Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This program is about the process I call diaprax, which is anathema, very opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's built on a way of thinking where we are to trust in our own reasoning, we are to lean to our own understanding, and we're to trust in man. Man's basically good. All you have to do is create a healthy environment and the goodness of mankind can manifest itself. That's the dream of social engineers. It was actually the process that we find called the dialectical process in the garden. With the woman, she was deceived into believing that she could be like God. Satan said, "You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And that sounds like a good thing, but by being like God, she disobeyed God. And therein was the lie, because to be like God is to obey. God is faithful to His own promises, but Eve was deceived because, see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and that is the dialectical process. Now, diaprax is simply the practice or the praxis. That's a popular term today in education. The name for the national test for teachers is Praxis 1, Praxis 2, Praxis 3. That is a word that's found in the scriptures. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his praxis. So there's an old man, which is to lie, which is to praxis lying. And that is the dialectical process. Now the lie can have truth. The Bible says teaching the truth in unrighteousness. So you can look at the laws that God has given us and make those the foundation of life, and that can actually be a lie. Because when Eve looked at the tree, she observed truth. That tree of knowledge of good and evil was just like all the other trees. Now, if all the other trees were good for food, then that tree was good for food. If all the other trees were pleasing to the eyes, then that tree was pleasing to the eyes. And if, in fact, this was a unique tree, and the only difference it had was it was now desirous to make one wise. It would make you equal with God. And therein was the lie. Adam and Eve did not die from the eating of the tree itself. See, the material relationship was not the issue. It was their disobedience to God. They could relate with everything in the garden except what God said you cannot relate with, even though whatever that was, see, would be good. It's the same thing as you telling your children they can't have a cookie. Is there anything wrong with a cookie? No, it's your command. And therein is an understanding of the dialectical process. It's a process to circumvent God's right and wrong and replace it with man's right or wrong. So when Eve saw the tree was good, there was nothing wrong with the tree, and therein the problem is there must be something wrong with God. And if you look at the structure of thought in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, God's word, God's command, because of a materialistic observation, became irrelevant. That, in essence, is the dialectical process. Now, I've shared this in prior programs, that three things happened in that garden experience in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, as it's recorded and revealed to us. First of all, there was a sensuous need, and I've talked about that the environment actually produces sensuous needs within us, felt needs, that we may not even be aware of originally. But then we become aware of them, and when we sense something, our senses pick up something in the environment and conveys this information to our mind, then our mind is designed by God to look into the environment to evaluate whether this is a good situation or a bad situation. Now, that's the very foundation for materialism and humanism, because if that's all you do, the environment stimulates, in other words, things that are pleasurable, or it stimulates things that are painful, then you look into the environment. If it's pain, you look in to avoid it. And if it's pleasure, you look into the environment to get more of it. That, in essence, is a humanist cycle. It's a love of the creation. But see, God has given us His Word, as God gave Adam His Word, and therein lie a command that interfered with this self, the mind set upon the things of the earth, environmental cycle. And so today I want to cover, as I covered the last few programs on Abraham Maslow, I want to cover Carl Rogers' Rogerian psychology. Now, what Maslow covered or presented in his hierarchy of felt needs were those sensuous needs, the physiological needs, the self-esteem needs, the self-actualization needs that we actually find demonstrated, revealed to us, our basic needs, the lust of the flesh. And see, when Eve disobeyed God, and she then, by her reasoning, said that there's nothing wrong with what God had said was wrong, that she therefore could approach that tree as though it wasn't a lust. See, but it is a lust. It there was nothing wrong with the tree, except God said you can't have it. And so the moment you have this intense desire to do something you've been told you cannot do, now it becomes a lust. There was nothing wrong with those trees, only this one tree. And there was nothing wrong with the tree itself. What was wrong with Adam and Eve was that they made that tree, through Eve's rational ability. In fact, what God said to Adam, why did you hearken to the voice of your wife? That was a dialectical process, because the environment, the tree, stimulated a sensuous desire, and that was to touch the tree. Every time she's going by the tree, you can't help this. If there are things in the environment that stimulate pleasure, every time you go by those items, they stimulate that pleasure. Now, you either set your mind on things above or set your mind on things below. And so God would insist that Adam, okay, every time you go by this tree, just look at the other trees. You know, do what I tell you to do. But in this case, Satan created an experiential chasm, a safe zone, where Eve could think upon the things of the earth. She could, first of all, think about herself. Think about this feeling. You know, anytime you touch or taste or smell or see or hear something, the environment triggers your awareness, the nervous system, and then in your mind you become aware, and then you respond. And that's called stimulus response. So the tree would stimulate her desire to touch it, because she said, nor touch it. I ought to be able to touch it. You can't have an ought to be unless there's something in the environment that you want to do, but you can't do because of some command, some objective truth that interferes with your subjective desires. And so that's a sensuous need. Now, there's nothing wrong with fulfilling that sensuous need if the parent or God says it's okay. Then, once Satan created this safe zone, she could look upon that tree and begin the process of evaluation. That's sense perception. She saw, and therein she evaluated that there's nothing wrong with the tree. Now, if there's nothing wrong with the tree, what's wrong with God? See, He doesn't make any sense. It's irrational. It's unreasonable. And so therein, once she could justify her thoughts and her feelings, through her thoughts, that her feelings were okay, she could then have sense experience, a sensuous experience, and that was to eat the tree, eat of the fruit of the tree. Now, I've just given you the sequence of events in the garden, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and I've also given you a famous quote that says, true science is sensuous experience, eating of the fruit of the tree, finding out it won't kill you. Sensuous need, the desire to relate with something in the environment that triggered a desire to relate with it. And a sense perception was there's something in the environment that triggered this desire to relate with it. And there's nothing wrong in the environment for me to relate with it. and therefore I am justified in my sensuous experience, which all proceeds from nature. See, what Eve did, what the woman did in the garden, was natural. It was human nature. Well, you've heard of human rights. That is human rights, the very pattern to justify human rights. This is the right of the child. See, the child's true nature is messed with. They call it neurosis, when a parent interferes with their natural inquiry into the world, into the environment, and find things in the environment that they naturally would relate with, that the parent then comes and says, prejudice the child with commands and fear of punishment or chastening if they went against the parent's will. Now, by the way, that is a very biblical paradigm. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a patriarchal paradigm. That's the paradigm you find from Genesis to Revelation. That is the paradigm that God uses. In fact, man gets in trouble the moment we move away from that paradigm. Now, that paradigm in itself, we can never fully fulfill, because there's this desire that the environment stimulates, and with our minds, we will justify relationship with whatever is in the environment that stimulated that sensuous need in defiance to God's authority, to God's word. Now, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs is simply lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life justified, because what Eve did there was negate the issue of lust in her own mind. See, she put on human eyes and human ears, and therefore there was nothing wrong. Well, there's nothing wrong, then there is no lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But that is, like Nietzsche said, God is dead. Well, I got news for you. Nietzsche found out that God is not dead. And that's an illusion. That's a lie. That's deception to believe that is a possibility. Because God says that we will all be held accountable because he has left his witness in the creation. We see order in the creation. You know, all the laws of nature. Even this law of the flesh is a law that God has given us. The Apostle Paul, and I've shared this several times, says, with my mind, I love the law of God. So Adam and Eve should have loved the law of God. But instead, he says, there's a law of the flesh. And who's going to deliver? Who can deliver me from this body of death? So evidently, the law can't deliver me, or there wouldn't be a problem. And his answer is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who walked on the face of the earth and didn't let his sensuous need lead him to sense perception, where he had a sensuous experience and put aside his Father's commands. He said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. And in fact, he says, he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. So that's a patriarchal paradigm. Now, Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs was simply looking at what we would all say. There's nothing wrong with sleep. There's nothing wrong with eating. There would have been nothing wrong with Jesus turning a stone into bread to eat, because 40 days you're ready to die. But his response is, man doesn't live by bread alone. Yes, I need these needs fulfilled, but his command was the same paradigm that God had given Adam. You can eat of all these trees, but you can't eat of that one. Now, in their case, it wasn't a matter of starvation. But Jesus was obedient to the Father even to death. Because the night before the cross, he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. He wouldn't have said nevertheless if he hadn't another thought about it. Okay? But he didn't let his sensuous need to live, or we all have a desire to live, and he didn't therefore go to sense perception other than this is really going to be painful, not only the physical, but the social rejection of men. It is not good that man be alone. And Jesus was going to, and he did, face rejection not only from all of mankind, but from God himself. He took on our sin. And therein, he conquered sin because he did not practice the dialectical process. Now, so Maslow simply justifies what Eve did in the garden, and he makes what Jesus did in the temptations in the wilderness irrelevant. See, because he again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And Jesus' response every time is, it is written, it is written, it is written. He preaches and teaches. He's even preaching to himself. He's preaching to Satan. He's preaching to the world. He's preaching to you. He's preaching to me. What Dad says goes. That's a patriarchal paradigm. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter what you think. You are not to direct your steps by your perception. Lean not to your own understanding. Walk in faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith is the evidence, see his word revealed to us, evidence of things not seen, and substance of things hoped for. So God has given us promises. So Maslow, simply, his hierarchy of felt needs, is a humanist base to justify the irrationality of fundamental religion. In other words, those who believe God's word, they're called believers, believe in God's word and refuse to compromise God's word in the face of whatever comes before them. Now, Rogers, Rogerian psychology, goes into the process itself, the dialectical process, the procedure. Maslow justifies it. That's what Eve did, looked at the tree and justified. And by justifying, by the way, you seared the conscience, because the conscience is a very contrast structure. What God gave Adam and Eve was contrast. I'm above, you're below. Right, wrong. Sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Light, dark. In this case, all these trees are okay. This tree is not. See? This is and this is not. 2 plus 2 is 4, cannot be any other number. So we find God's paradigm as a contrast. He's spirit, we're flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But with man, what Eve did, what the woman did in the garden, was common. See, commonism. Do you understand this? Commonism, communitarianism, communism, all have their same structure from the dialectical process that was to find what's common and thereby circumvent, get around what divides, contrast. So the whole focus is on human relationship, relationship with the environment, relationship with nature, relationship with our nature, relationship with the world's nature. And this is the heart, the soul of humanism and communism and globalism. This is the very process. And see, the key was when Satan got Eve to dialogue, you know, you can dialogue with yourself. And dialogue carries with how you feel. Well, I ought to be able to touch it, is your feelings and your thoughts. That's perception. You're looking at the situation and you're deciding for yourself what is right and what is wrong. Again, it is not in man to direct his steps. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he's the one who directs your steps. See, that's the word of God to you and me. But if you're looking at what the world's throwing at you today, it's sometimes it becomes very difficult. So we are to set our minds on things above. But all of counseling today, even so-called biblical counseling, has incorporated this dialectical pattern. In other words, finding out how you feel and what you think in regards to any situation. Instead of doing what the Bible says, preach and teach. You preach and teach truth. You dialogue. See, that's what Eve did, for God has said. When she doesn't quote God's word, she quotes her opinion, and your opinion is your dialogue. Well, God has said, thou shalt not eat it nor touch it, lest ye die. And then Satan says, oh, ye won't die, so now we have dialogue. Because if she would have said, will too, if she would have actually done what Jesus did, it is written, quote exactly the text, exactly what the parent said, exactly what God said, exactly what the Constitution said. See, you go to courts today, you're going to find this very same process going on. You quote the document, the source, and you're going to be attacked. Because what happens is, even in a world of change, and you come in with the absolute, it is written, you're preventing the world from changing. You're bringing the world back to square one with God. Everybody is accountable before God for what they think and what they say. So again, I've just capsulized Abraham Maslow, his hierarchy of felt needs. You're going to marketing, you're going to education, you're going to study and learn to apply. Are these things wrong? Well, they're simply explaining the flesh, the law of the flesh. Now, Rogers looks at the procedure. And if you go to college and you study any profession now, you're going to take Rogerian psychology. This is the team-building process. the consensus process. Two things, open-ended and non-directive. Open-ended simply means we can talk about anything. Well, that means we can look at anything, and therein, if we can see it, then it's experiential, and it's material, and it's temporal. So we can talk about anything, open-ended, and non-directive. Now, if you go, first of all, a patriarchal paradigm, two words, is a not. If you go open-ended, and that's the requirement. We can talk about anything in this room, and that's the law, because it has become a law. It's an open-ended law. It's general systems theory. You cannot stand up and say, no, we cannot, because you're bringing in God's paradigm, contrast. There are things we can talk about, there are things we cannot, but when we go open-ended, that we can talk about anything. Now, the desired outcome is that whatever we talk about, everybody in the room can relate with. See, as long as everybody can relate with it, then it's material, because not everybody's spiritual. And so that's why you have to have diversity. So you have a diverse group. There may be some spiritual and some who are not. And therefore, if in our communication, in our dialogue, remember Satan got Eve into dialogue, and dialogue always gravitates to how we feel and what we think, and that's what we all have in common, which is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, which is of the world. Folks, I'm giving you the very, you go to the UN and you sit down and listen to those meetings, this is the pattern. They can't make any decision outside of this very pattern. You go to the classrooms today, even at Christian schools that are using Bloom's taxonomy, teachers are certified on Bloom, and your Christian school is accredited. If it is accredited, it's on Bloom's taxonomy. They follow the very same procedure. So if we go Rogerian psychology, dialectical, open-ended, I just got rid of the cannot people in the room. You have to participate. It's participatory democracy, see? You're going to be evaluated along a spectrum. Based upon your willingness to participate and your refusal to participate. And so the open-ended environment is instantly going to put pressure. They call it cognitive dissonance, because especially if people in the room, you need them. You need them as an adult. Say you have a business in the community, and we use this facilitated process at a town hall meeting, and all of a sudden issues are coming in that are countering your faith, because if you have Robert's Rules of Order, it allows the other person to share their position and then gives you 10 minutes to share your position, and that you can preach and teach. But in fact, Robert's Rules of Order used to be they would not allow you to dialogue if they're properly used. But now you bring in a facilitator, they don't like you to preach and teach. That's why it's a 3-minute any time, just 3 minutes, because it allows you enough time to share how you feel. It's a short-term dialogue. And what you think. In other words, your opinions. So in this process, every truth and every ideal is treated as an opinion. So if we go open-ended, then you can't say can and cannot. That's contrast. You have to share how you feel and what you think, which we all have in common, open-ended. I get rid of the negative people. Secondly, non-directive. I'm not going to tell you what's right and wrong. Well, see, God directs us. And so you can start directing people in the room. This is how to build a bridge. This is how to do this. This is how to do that. You're going to be perceived as hateful and intolerant because you're not allowing other people to share their opinion and you're hurting their feelings. It's automatic. Once you come into that environment, that's the outcome. You can't stop it from happening. See, the only thing you can do is get the facilitator out of the room, see, or preach and teach to them. See, and that's what Jesus did. Satan couldn't handle it. After the third encounter, he left for a season. Do you realize the Antichrist can rule with a room full of Christians as long as they're dialoguing? As long as all the Christians are sharing their opinions, how they feel and what they think about God's Word, the Antichrist himself has no problem with him being around, but he cannot handle, he cannot stand, he cannot exist and persist in his agenda in the face of God's word itself. So every minister I've met in Church Growth Emerging Church, none of them to date has ever gone to the word of God as is. Oh, they'll cut and paste and rearrange scripture. And then they'll throw in philosophy. Well, and they'll say, well, how do you feel? What do you think? And when I keep insisting on the word of God, I keep taking everybody in the meetings to the word of God, they will interrupt and they'll say, well, you've just gone too far. You know, you're hurting people's feelings here. So feelings are now treated as the contrast is between today, whether you make people feel good or you don't make them feel good. See, and so therefore, God's out because, see, Satan came along and made Eve feel good. She could get in touch with her inner child. She could identify with her true nature. Just give you a few quotes from Carl Rogers from his book on becoming a person. He talks about the good life. Now, this is the first premise of the dialectical process. Man is basically good. Aristotelian thought, he's basically good, he wills to do good, and his passions are okay. And the only problem with man is that he was raised in an environment that produced rigidity in his life, because goodness is a state of change. Goodness is what Eve did. That was good. She looked at the tree, and there in the environment she was in touch with, the changing environment. She came across something new. She perceived it, and she had feelings toward it. She had desire to relate with it. It was different than the others, because up until then there was discrimination. There was segregation. See, there was prejudice, preset standards that interfered with her humanistic nature. And so Satan, the first facilitator, Satan who gives us, who is the one who lays down what Carl Rogers is noted for Rogerian psychology. Rogers didn't come up with it. He probably didn't even know. You can go to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and his whole doctoral dissertation is right there, given to us by God. But he writes, the good life is not any fixed state. So when God told Adam, and then we don't know for sure whether Adam told Eve. I'm sure that may have been it, but I'm not going to speculate. But Eve was to know the truth. God told Adam, you're to rule. Why did you hearken to the voice of your wife? See, why did you go to dialogue? Why did you go to feelings? Why did you go to thinking? You already knew. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. Why are you destroyed? Because you knew, and you didn't share. And so, supposedly, and if you accept Carl Rogers, and there's no such thing as a Christian psychologist, because if you're a Christian psychologist, the illusion, and you're using Rogerian psychology, the assumption is that life is changing, and you need to be adaptable to change. The church needs to be contemporary with the temporary, and therein, Adam and Eve did not have the good life until they did the dialectical process. So the good life is not any fixed state, but because before Satan came along, they were in a fixed state. Then he says the good life is a process. Well, we're out of time. We'll continue on the other side of these messages covering Carl Rogers and Rogerian psychology. This is Dean Gocher. I encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and our latest article is Civil Disobedience. May have some flack coming from people who don't bother to read it to understand it, but I encourage you to look into it and gain an understanding of this process.